They took the lamb and they slayed it, put the blood upon the doorpost. That whole thing was a depiction of Jesus Christ. We preached that and taught that here, and y'all already know that. But I want you to get that mindset. So that this Passover, Jesus already knew he was the Passover lamb. He was going to be taken up to Jerusalem. He was going to be crucified, and he was going to be slaughtered, and he was going to be taken outside the city, just like all the other Passover lambs were. That's amazing. It's amazing how real life things, things that were types and shadows in the Old Testament, became what they are in the New Testament with Jesus and what they are to us today. Verse 5, and when Jesus had lifted up his eyes, he saw the great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that we may eat? I love this. I love Jesus because he doesn't turn the people away. He doesn't look at a crowd. He doesn't look at a crowd and go, man, get them out of here. You know, we're on vacation. Get them out of here. I'm too busy. Get them out of here. They came out there because they had seen the miracles, and they were wondering more about Jesus. So guess what? Jesus seen them, and then he starts this conversation. And right here, I want you to kind of start looking at the character of Philip. Philip has gifts and talents and abilities, but God has to expose him to a test to get him to think like God wants him to think, not now, but after he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're going to learn a lot about ourselves right here through Philip, because I'm telling you right now, every time I read this, I feel the sharp pain. I feel this little bit of like a gouge, because this is who I am, and I'm still this way sometimes. I'm a very pragmatic person. I'm a very fix it, get it done, lead it, show it, let me show you how to operate it type thing. That's my nature, all right? I am not uber spiritual. I know some people try to get, oh man, hey, preacher, he's too special. You know, I do know what the Spirit of God sounds like. I do know what the Spirit of God leads like. I can get spiritual, but my human nature is first to try to fix it myself. And I hope some of you men in here would just kind of nod with me every once in a while, because I know a couple of you in here, you've got that same gear. Some of us, same if we got an issue, we don't go, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I know you're just going to provide right now. I'll just hold my hand out and I'll wait. The money just drops right there in my hand, and then I'm going to take that money and walk over and I'll pay that dude, and that's where it's going to operate. Right? That's not how I think. When somebody would say, we got an issue, we're going to need some food, then we're going to need some money, then we're going to need some food, we're going to need some things. I'm going to say, all right. Okay, this is what we got to bank. This is what we're going to do. I've got to call 5 or 6 people, get an agreement, try to figure it out, try to help them, get some logistics going, find some people to go over there and meet the need. And then while we're over there trying to meet the need, then we'll tell them about Jesus. Right? Is that how we operate? That's how I operate. But watch this. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company, he looked at Philip and says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He already knew what he was going to do. I tell you this, God's already planned this whole thing out, played it all out, and he's already in charge. But what he was trying to do with Philip is, he said, when I'm gone, and you've got the spirit of me in you, don't always try to fix the problem your way. Pray and seek me for my way. Pray. Listen, I'm preaching better than this group right here is letting on, because I know for the most part everybody in this room has an issue or issues that you need God to move in. And you want him to move in. And you look at it and it's overwhelming. You think, man, that's overwhelming. I don't know. God doesn't want you to fix that problem without seeking him first. And let me go ahead while I'm there. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty. And I don't care if the problem has already been started and you're midway through it. Whew. The crowd was already there. They're already hungry. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to be halfway through the problem, not prayed in the beginning, not sook the Lord in the beginning of it, get marred down in it, it look overwhelming, and the answer to the problem is still the same. Crawl up to Jesus and pray. God, help me with this. Help me see this how you see this issue. Help me understand what to do next. Provide if you want to provide. Give me the wisdom if you want to give me the wisdom on how to provide it. But God, don't let me just try to fix the thing. Don't let me just try to do it without you involved in it. Because if I do, man, maybe at the end of it, we would have a bunch of issues from me solving it the way I would have solved it instead of going to God, and there'd be less things that were on. Man, what if God wanted to do what he's doing right here in this? Amen? What if he's already got a plan that's already from A to B, which he does, and he just wants you to get involved in that plan, but instead we just want to go. I love what Philip says. And he said, Philip is just like me. He's just like me. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Golly, he was off the hoof. He just went, this is what we got. That's who they are. And if we went out and bought as much bread as we could right now, every one of them wouldn't even get a little bit. I mean, we would be breaking, you know, maybe some of the kids would eat, and maybe some of the mamas would eat, and daddies would probably just have to tough it out. That's probably where we're at. Ain't that, God, do y'all ever read this stuff like this and see it, and you just sit there and go, how many times have I done that to God? How many times have I done that right there? Didn't pray, didn't seek him, didn't ask for help, didn't ask him to give me any kind of resource, didn't, oh Lord, help us, we're in 2021, don't ask for a miracle. Right? Save the miracles, because, I mean, we're just talking about dinner here. Right? I mean, these people can go home. Right? These people can go, I mean, they already figured it out, and this story's in all four Gospels. We might want to send them away now where they can get somewhere and get something to eat. Jesus, I hope you get this. Jesus, I don't want them to go nowhere else but for me. I want them to see me as the need meter. But I want you to see how the need is met. Man, I hope some of y'all are taking mental notes right here. I hope we are. Because this right here is huge. I believe we do this at our church sometimes. We get ahead of God. We get ahead of God. We're way out there in front. We're out over our skis. We're doing stuff. We're doing things. And then we're going back and saying, hey, God, why ain't this working out? Well, did you talk to me about it? Have you kept me in the loop all the way through? Have you came back to me? That would have been really good, because I could have let you know there was another route. There's no way. We can't even feed everybody here. Yeah. I hope I don't overstep right here. If I do, just meet me right after church and tell me I'm overstepping. But man, I see a big old building sitting out there every day. You know, it'd be good if we just, I mean, on a regular basis, when you drive by here or just come by here, pull up beside that thing and say, God, help us. God, help us. I mean, I was going to try to be vague all night and kind of dance around it, but I guess that ain't going to work. Well, we just have to throw a grenade in on it and just blow it up right here, right? Why don't we just say, hey, God, we're right in the middle of this thing. This is pretty overwhelming. This is a big deal. How about it? How about we want to use this not to feed 5,000 people. Man, we want to use this to reach souls that will reach the shores of heaven. Amen? That's what we're wanting. And God's into that. And this, he said to prove him, verse Philip, and answered and said, 200 people. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew shows up. Now Andrew can't even help himself. So, sometimes we operate in the gifts that God's given us, and we operate and we do those things, but then we don't even recognize when we should have shut up. Andrew had it great. I could see it. I know I've preached this here before. Y'all might get tired of it, but I love this. I like it. This kid had to be an amazing kid. John is the only one that records him. But he just goes up to Andrew and pulls on. Sure. Hey, sir. Hey, mister. What do you want? My mama packed me a good lunch. I'd like to give it to Jesus to give to these people. God, 5,000, not count. We're talking about 15, 20,000 people. He didn't see little. He didn't see this can't work. All he did by faith was, if I can get this to this guy and he gets it to Jesus, then Jesus can get it to them. All he needs is me to give what resource I have. We're always thinking there's going to be a big answer. God in this whole Bible never needed big. He needed obedience. He just needed somebody to say, God, you can have it. I know you can work more out of it than I can. I don't care how, golly, I wish we'd get the attitude of that little boy. Hey, you can have the whole lunch. Golly, Bob. Do you know how many people in that group probably had lunch and never gave it away? You know how many adults looked at that boy and said, you're an idiot. You could be having lunch and the rest of us are starving. You could have consumed that on yourself and you would have been fine for another 3 or 4 days. I'm glad there's people that say, you know what? It ain't going to be any good if it's just on me. I want everybody to have some. And I hope we have the attitude is, even my little bit in the hands of God can do a lot. And I hope you're not here sitting here thinking that we're just always talking about money, because I'm going to tell you, everything you got like that. I got a smidgen of talent. I want God to have it. I got a smidgen of time left. I want God to have it. I got a smidgen of, well, I can work. Well, give it to God. Ain't that, it's just we get to money because money is it's a representation of our time and our effort. That's why we do money a lot of times, because it represents where we spend most of our lives. And it's the only thing we can give back to God freely. And it's cool. And it's like, hey, thank you for the job. I get this a lot. I'm probably going to get in trouble. I keep running these little roads right here. Here's where most people get in trouble. They'll bless God for everything they get, but they never give anything back to God. Lord, you blessed me. He's like, yeah, I've been blessing you whole life. You wouldn't even give me a nickel back. I preach this. I don't know why I say stuff like this, but praise God, if you go down to the movies, you'll pay. How much does it cost to get into a movie nowadays? $20? I don't know, guessing. I'm going to say 10, all right? And some of y'all can laugh at me if that's... I hadn't been to a movie since I don't know when. But you go in there, you might as well take $100 with you. If you're just going with your wife, you're going to pay $30 to get in my case. Then you're going to pay $40 worth of popcorn and snacks and extra butter. And you're going to sit in there, watch every credit. You're going to watch everything. You're going to kick back in that thing. They're going to have air conditioning. They're going to have lights. They're going to have a show. You're going to watch the whole thing. You're going to leave. You're going to get in your car. You ain't never going to complain about the $20, the $30, the stuff you spent, the time you spent. You ain't never going to complain about any of that stuff. You come to the house of God for 20 years and wouldn't give $5. And if you do, it's the biggest thing in your life. Man, and we watch your kids. Sorry, I'll leave that out. Could you imagine if you went up to the movies, I'd like to really enjoy this movie I'm about to go watch, and I just spent $150 to get in here. Could you watch Junior? He's got a little ADHD, and he gets out of control. He's loud. He might bite you and kick you. Can you watch him while I watch the movie? They'd say, yeah, for about another $200. We'll lock him in a janitor's closet. I didn't mean to go down this road, but we're here anyway. Might as well enjoy it. We belong to a church. You belong to a church. This is stuff you get to use 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Sow into it. Sow into it. Give joyfully. I mean, man, that'd be a good idea. Give joyfully. Whew, man, I didn't mean to preach that hard on that. Verse 9, there is a lad here. It's small fishes, but what are they among so many? He should have shut up on the first part. He's a lad here. He's got his lunch, but then he has to say, what are they among so many? He used his gift, but then he couldn't keep his mouth shut. That sounds like me too. Amen? Have you ever done that? Have you ever ruined a blessing with your mouth? I mean, you'll say something spiritual, and you'll be on, I'm just praying about it. I'm on this. I've done forgive him. I'm on my way. Praise God. Hallelujah. But then 5 minutes after that, you'd say, but let me tell you. Let me tell you my side of it, right? Let me tell you how I think about it. You're sitting there the whole time you're talking, you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm ruining it. Andrew stood there and said, there's a kid right here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Man, look at him. And then he goes, but what are they? I love that, man. Goodness. I'm glad. Aren't you glad when we read the scriptures, it ain't a bunch of heroes that don't make mistakes. It's a Jesus who loves them despite of who they are, uses them despite of who they are, and then keeps on using them. He'll train you. What you got to do, though, you might want to write this down. You got to keep following Jesus. You can't give up when you mess up. You can't give up when you hurt. You just got to say, that hurt. I messed up. I got to keep following Jesus because it's better than anything else I've ever done anyway. Praise God. This is the best life I've ever lived, living for Jesus. Somebody said, are you ever going to give up? You ever going to quit? Man, I've already thought about quitting. I've thought about giving up. But praise God, what am I going to do? I mean, where am I going to go? Peter said it best, where am I going to go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. You're the only one that's given me peace and joy. You're the only one that's forgiven me of my sins. Where in the world would I go? I can get mad and upset, hurt, depressed, everything else. But you know what? When I turn to the Lord, when I get in His book, when I get in prayer, I find peace and joy and happiness. And you know what? I say, you know what? I'll just go on with Him. He's pretty good. And Jesus took the loaves. I love that. No, verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. He didn't even listen to Andrew's last part. He just told them, tell all the men to sit down. If you go into other gospels, he said, have them sit down in groups of 50. Man, ain't that cool? Set them down all in the groups of 50. 50 here, 50 there. 50. Just set them down. Put them in order. God's a God of order too. Amen? Man, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he says, start setting them down by the 50s. Table of 50 right here. Table of 50 right here. Table of 50 right here. Could you imagine? They're like all sitting there going, man, all he's got is the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Ain't nobody went nowhere. Ain't nobody done anything. Philip's standing there going, man, I don't understand. We didn't break out the 20 pennyworth. We didn't go out and get a little bit of bread. Andrew's sitting there going, man, he just took the kids lunch. That's all I know. Right? Ain't it amazing? Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given the thanks, he distributed the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I love this. Watch what he did. Listen what he did. Jesus could have said to everybody, come on up and get you some. Everybody, head of your household, come on, get up here. You know what he did? He took the men who didn't believe, didn't understand, couldn't comprehend it. He said, he blessed that food, and he said, start handing the fish out and the loaves. I wonder who the first one to grab it was. I wonder who the first one to grab some fish and went, you got to be out of your. And it went to the first row of 50. Have you ever come to the understanding that every time you hand out Jesus, there's more Jesus to hand out? Have you ever found out that when you hand out love and grace and mercy and peace, when you start handing out Jesus and you give people grace, have you ever noticed you never run out? I would like to know how that whole scenario went down. I bet, I guarantee you, the people were eating. They were blown out of their mind. They were just happy to be having fish and loaves. But I wonder if the disciples would catch each other from their operation areas and just go, you've seen what I've seen. We're still handing this out. He said he handed out to everybody until the last person and said, no more for me. Amen? No more for me. I'm full. You know what? They had 12 baskets full left over. Could you imagine them picking up the fish and the loaves and putting them in the basket? Just a little while before that, they didn't know if they could feed everybody. Now they got left over. Why'd you preach all that? All these four Gospels are a direct representation of one Jesus Christ who breaks himself at the cross and becomes multiple to everybody we hand him to. And he's enough for the whole world to get saved and then some. So when you run into somebody and they say, well, Jesus don't want to save nobody like me, you say, no. You're wrong. Because one day I read in the Bible where he fed 5,000. You know what I noticed when I read this? That it didn't describe any of the 5,000. Do you think all the 5,000 were good, great people, awesome people? You know what they were? Five people who sat down, got in order, and said, God, give it to me. And they all ate. You ain't got to be special. You ain't got to be perfect. You ain't gonna be great. All you got to do is say, God, give it to me. And if you'll ask for Jesus, he'll give you as much as you want of him. I love when people say, I just want to get closer to Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to do more for Jesus. I hate to tell you this, but the Bible says, if you hunger and thirst for Jesus, you'll never go hungry and thirsty. You'll never go hungry and thirsty because he'll give it to you in abundance if you want it. I think it's the difference of a want to. I love preaching here. I love preaching the Word of God. But you know what I like to preach to? People who say, you know what? It's high time that I take my few loaves and my few fishes and I give them out to other people. I believe we would have some of the greatest services. I believe we would have one of the greatest churches that's ever been heard of if we would go out and give out what we've been given and come back in here starving for Jesus. It's hard to sing to. It's hard to preach to. It's hard to minister to people that are full. People who are not, they just, if you go to eat, let me tell you something, you go to Golden Corral every single day, about Thursday, you're going to go in there and go, God, I ate that chicken yesterday. It was all right. I like it. Well, I don't know if I like it. I might get a little bit of that. You know where you'll spend most of your time at? You'll just go right down there to the dessert bar. All right. You're always wanting dessert. You know why? Because you're done full on everything else. What are you saying? It's really past time. The church, if we're ever going to wake up, today is the wake up. Like last night, I sat around, I heard, you know, I watched the Braves, and I watched a little bit of politics on there, listening to, you know, keeping up with it here. Oh, Virginia, we won Virginia. Oh, man, there's a lot. Let me tell you something. That ain't the lot. That ain't the hope. The hope is Jesus. That's the hope. Somebody said, oh, we're going to get our country back. You know what's going to get our country back? Winning daddies to Jesus. Winning kids to Jesus. Winning your family to Jesus. That's what's going to get the country back. I'm really not worried about what somebody's doing in Washington or California or anywhere else. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about my neighbor. He's the one that's going to do crazy stuff at my place. I mean, next thing you know, we'll have boats and cars burnt down in your front yard. Right? You'll get that later. Let's all stand.